May the grace, mercy, and peace of God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto each and every heart and soul gathered here this afternoon of grace, asking that the Holy Spirit would speak unto each one of us, for it is God, through the Holy Spirit, that knows our very hearts and knows the needs of each one of us, even if they would all be different or whether they be all the same. God, as we have heard, knows the heart, and He sees and knows the very thoughts of our hearts. I rejoice greatly in the word that I have heard today. It has made my heart rejoice. I have so very much enjoyed that manna from heaven that has come down. Are you coming up here, Mary, or what?
No, I'm
not. Oh. It has been so preciously revealed unto all of the brethren this day and in the days that have gone by. And I feel so poor and weak in myself that I would have to ask that you would all sigh a prayer unto the Heavenly Father, that He would allow His Holy Spirit to speak even through this vessel of clay, that this tongue could be loosened to speak that precious and holy word, even as the other brothers have already made known. And as we sang this last song, the last verse of this song, it touched my heart, where it says a brighter sun is shining there. Where is that? That brighter sun that is not the sun, the natural sun, but it is the Son of God that is shining in that celestial city. That city that has been prepared for everyone that loves the Lord. For everyone that has a desire to reach that heavenly home. A brighter sun is shining there that darkens nevermore. No, it will. That brightness will never go out. It will never even dim. For Jesus will be there. God Himself, our Heavenly Father, is there. We will be there with God and with Jesus. Don't we all want to go there? Is that where we want to spend eternity? We heard this morning that there are two places that every soul will have to spend eternity in one place or another. And that one place, one of those places, is heaven above. That glorious celestial city where the dark bird, the sun shines, sun darkens nevermore. But that other place is a place of torment, where we even heard the brother speak this morning that when they are bound hand and foot and cast into that lake of fire, oh, I pray that there'd be none here that will hear those words, "Go ye away from me, cursed. I never knew you." Into that lake of fire. You know that that place was not made. God did not make that place for his people. It is for Satan and his angels. But how many of God's created people have turned away? They have not listened to the instructions of God's word. They have not come to know their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for their sins, who has paid the price completely, so that there's nothing that we have to do except, as we heard this morning, to give our sins to him, to confess our faults one to another, and to hear our sins blotted away in the blood of Jesus and in his holy and precious name. Oh, what a wonderful God we have, who loved us so much that he was willing to send his only begotten Son down here upon this sin-cursed earth to suffer and to die, to take upon himself your sins and mine, to redeem us, to pay the price, that great price, that we could live eternally with him in heaven above, in that city where the brighter sun is shining, the darkness darkens nevermore, and Jesus is himself the fair. That's the price. Jesus is the fair that we have to confess, that we are sinners saved by grace only by the merits of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the fair. He has paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Yes, we owe everything to him. Jesus himself is the fare spread on the festive board. Oh, even as we heard that we are able to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus when that New Testament has been, the New Covenant has been established for us. Oh, how much easier it is now than it was in the Old Testament, and how much better it is when we are able to go to one another whenever we have a need, not waiting for that one special day when the high priest had to go in into the tabernacle, not without blood. But we are able, because when Jesus died on a cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. It is opened up and we are free to go to have our sins washed away, to have our atonement completed. We can go at any time that we have anything that is hindering us or bothering us, that is hindering our faith. And so we want to remember that we are free to go. Jesus has opened the way. He has opened the way for us that we can freely believe and we can be the free children of God. Oh, what a blessing it is for each one of us. I have chosen a portion of a text found in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And I will read that in Jesus' name, beginning with the 13th verse and reading through to the end, the 26th verse. Galatians 5, 13 through 26. We will read this in Jesus' name with that prayer that God will reveal his word unto us even this day. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. Our text starts out with this in the first verse of the chapter 5: stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If you have been freed from the yoke of bondage, stand fast in that liberty. For we do not want to be in bondage. That is why God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, because they were under bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians, and they were under heavy bondage. That's the same as those who have not been yet converted, who have not found themselves that they are sinners and in the need of grace, need of a Savior. They are yet in bondage. But we who have had the grace to repent of our sins and have been removed, that have that bondage removed from us, we are then, as it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And then we go into where we started our text. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. We are instructed, though we are at liberty, that we have become free from bondage, it does not give us any liberty to partake of the pleasures of this world, to satisfy the lust of our flesh, the desires of our heart, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of our life. We have not received this kind of liberty. It is the liberty we have received wherein we are, our sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus, and we have been changed into a new man. We have died to sin. If it be so that you have received Christ into your heart, that you have put sin away, so we do not want to, because we have been called unto liberty, we do not want to have it, use it for occasion to the flesh. The flesh is dead when we have died to sin, when we have been born again and made anew, when we have the Holy Spirit sanctifying our souls and our inward man. It is by the Holy Spirit that we are sanctified, even as Brother Ralph talks so much about the catechism, the creed, and the commandments, and so forth. Yes, everything in there is very, very, very important and very true. And we see that we have received the Holy Spirit when we have been converted, when we have repented of our sins and had our sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. Then it goes on to say, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How can the law be fulfilled in one word? Let us turn to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, beginning with the 37th verse, reading a few verses. And these are the words of Jesus himself. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now we know, and we have learned in the Bible and in the catechism, that when God wrote the commandments, he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the first three were established for us to know and to learn love to God. And that's what it says here, that that was the first commandment, that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all thy mind. Do you love God in this way, brothers and sisters? Do you love your Heavenly Father with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? You ought to. We are instructed to do this. When we have learned the commandments, we have learned it in this manner. It's in a few more words, and they have a meaning to them. But Jesus has made it such that we can remember them very easily in remembering first this. Love to God, the first commandment. Love to God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And then it's strange that on the second tablet, there were seven commandments written, and the seven commandments were all love to our neighbor and to ourself. That's how God loves us. He feels that we should, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we should love our neighbor as ourself, as it says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And if we think about the commandments, even putting them into the ten that they are, it is so. It is this way that the first three are all love to God, and the last seven, every one of them, show love to our neighbor Read them over and study them, and you will see that every one of the last seven teach us to love our neighbor, to do no harm to them, to help them in every way, to do all that we can. And that's the commandment of God. Jesus says that this is my commandment. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I have been told by some who have left this church that they've left because there's not love spoken in this church. And I question that very much. Because first of all, if we speak about God, our Heavenly Father, it has to be about love, because God is love. And God loved his people so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die for each one of us. And when we speak of God and of Jesus, how much more can we speak of love? Because they are love completely. So there is love spoken. And what is it but love? When we even from behind here get up and read the scriptures, and we find the word love so many, many times in the scriptures that we have to speak of love. And we are instructed to love one another, just as it says here, to love one another. We as the children of God, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have all been washed in the blood of Jesus, and we should certainly love one another and try to get along with each other. For it says here, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Oh, we do not want to bite and devour one another, but rather that we would get along as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, knowing that we have all been washed in the blood of Jesus, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we have differences, yes, but that those differences can be spoken and talked about. And if there are those things that have come between one another, they can be put away. Put away by the blood of Jesus, saying that, brother or sister, you have offended me or I have offended you. I would like to ask that this could be forgiven and blotted out in the blood of Jesus, because we want to get along. We want to get along well with one another. We want to follow the instructions of Jesus. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, I know we are instructed, and we are told that the flesh is so weak, and I know it is so weak. But yet, we have that Holy Spirit within us, and if we listen and take heed of the word of God, it says that if we walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to believe this and trust in the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit when it speaks unto you, because that Spirit does speak unto us. We have been given that Holy Spirit to abide with us. On that day of Pentecost, when the Spirit, Holy Spirit came down, as is called, as Jesus called, the Comforter. When that Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and Peter preached that powerful sermon, over 3,000 souls were saved that day. And that Spirit, when it came unto Peter and the apostles there, it has been transferred by the washing away of sin, transferred to all the followers, the disciples. We, you know, if you are a follower of Christ, you are his disciple. There is a difference between apostles and disciples, because there were only the apostles that were those were chosen by Jesus when he was here on earth. And with the exception of Paul, who was Saul at the time, but his name changed to Paul, he says that he was appointed by Christ, but after Christ died. We who follow Jesus are his disciples. And so then we who are his disciples have received that Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Jesus says that if we do not have the Holy Spirit, we are none of his. Do you understand this? If we do not have the Holy Spirit, we are none of his. So if there be any here that does not have the Holy Spirit, the scripture tells us, the words tell us that seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. It is no secret, even as Apostle Paul, when he was talking to King Agrippa, it is no secret how one is to be saved. It is all out in the open. And maybe I'll just read a little bit about what Paul said to King Agrippa when he says in the 26th chapter of Acts, in the 27th verse and 28th and 29th, it says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Are there those here who do not believe? Then Agrippa, remember King Agrippa was a king, and Paul was in bonds. He was bound, and he was speaking to the king here. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all them that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And I say that to everyone here too, that if there's someone here that is almost persuaded to be a Christian, you know, there is that song, almost, almost persuaded, but lost. Almost is not, but to fail, it's not enough. You have to become a Christian by repentance and the forgiveness of your sins, believing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And as he said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, and I pray say the same thing, that not only one or two, but everyone who hears me this day, that they would be both almost and altogether such as I am. Paul says that as I am, except these bonds. He was bound, for he was a prisoner. But as we heard this morning, that in everything, or this afternoon, I guess it was, that in whatever condition the apostles were in, Paul especially says that to be content in that which you are in. For there are many things that perhaps will happen to any one of us. We do not know. We do not know what lies ahead. And so many of the ones ahead of us, the apostles and those of old who were confessing the name of Jesus and confessing that they were Christians, they had to suffer. They had to suffer, and Jesus says that if you follow me, you will have to suffer also. So don't be alarmed if you have to suffer for his name. One thing, do not be ashamed to confess his name before this gainsaying and adulterous generation. For Jesus says that if you are ashamed to confess my name in this world, I will be ashamed to confess your name before the Heavenly Father. And oh, I'm sure that none of us here want that Jesus would be ashamed to confess our name. Oh, we know that we are weak and erring, but Jesus has paid the price. He has given us all. He has given us his life. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. We heard about that today already also, that there is a warfare. We are in a constant warfare. The spirit against the flesh. God's word against the Satan. That is the warfare that we as children of God have to endure. And do not be discouraged if that warfare is great within you, because that means that you are striving. You are striving to walk on this narrow way of life. And Satan is striving. He is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Satan is attacking us on every side, and he wants to devour you. He wants to pull you away, and especially you young ones. Oh, how Satan is going to try to convince you that there is a better way, that so many have gone and searched for a better way, an easier way. Don't let Satan convince you. And he is not cunning. When we even look to our first parents, Adam and Eve, they were in the garden, and God had told them they can have everything. Everything in that garden excepting one thing. They cannot eat of the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And so Satan was there, and he said, oh, I know how I can go after them. There's one thing that they're not supposed to do, but I'm going to use God's word, and I'm going to convince them that what God says is not true. And he was successful in convincing Eve. When Eve said that God said they will surely die, Satan said, you will not die. You will be made wise. It was so cunning that Eve believed, and she was beguiled by that serpent, the devil. So he is cunning, and oh, how many he has deceived in this time. He has deceived so many, but be not deceived. Remember that Christ died on the cross for our sins, for yours and for mine. He was buried, and he descended into hell, and he arose again from the dead, because death, hell, and the devil could not hold him. He was victorious over sin, death, hell, and the devil. And when he lives within your heart, within you, through the Holy Spirit, he is victorious over sin, death, hell, and the devil. Satan cannot take over unless you yourself allow him to. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. That's why there is that warfare. The spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. Oh, they are so contrary. They are absolute opposites. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Oh, the flesh would want to go into all kinds of things and do things. But because the Holy Spirit is within us, the Spirit of God is contrary to that spirit of the flesh, and it allows us to continue on the narrow way of life, that we, because we all want to get to that celestial city. That's our aim. that we want to be with Jesus at the end of the journey. Alright, then it says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. No, you're not under the law because you're led of the Spirit. Now the words of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now it gives these whole bunch of things that are the works of the flesh. And I'm sure that most of us will recognize most of them, if not all of them, as the works of the flesh. They are these: adultery, which we have heard about today, fornication, which we have also heard about today, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresies, by the way, are contrary to the doctrine. Seeking something else. Envyings, murders, drunkenness. How much is that? How much is there of that even among those we know? Murders and drunkenness, revelings, all revelings and so and such like. And there are probably many, many more that could be named. But that's all that it puts down here. We recognize these things as the works of the flesh. These are the works of the flesh. But what does God say? God's word say about this? It says that as I have told you in times past, of such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we are fallen into these things, any of these things which we perhaps have fallen into, some of them, and maybe we've fallen into many of them, and God knows that we are weak in the flesh, but He has given us a Spirit to abide in us, to strengthen us, to keep us on the way of life. But even as it says in Peter, I believe it is, before I say that, where it says here that, I don't see this right now, but anyway, it says that if we fall, and we know that many times we do fall, that Jesus says He is an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. He has paid the price. So we do not have to worry if we fall sometimes, not on purpose, but many times we stumble and we fall. He does not cast us out. He wants that we would listen to the Spirit, and the Spirit will tell us that you have erred. You have done something that you're not supposed to do. Put it away. Because if you continue to carry that burden, it will hinder you on this way of life. Jesus has said, that come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon you my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants to carry those burdens for you. He doesn't want you to be hindered in any way. He doesn't want you to carry anything that hinders you. Now, I just want to read this one little portion in 1 Peter, the 9th verse, that we are a peculiar people, that is different than most churches anyway. And it says that, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why is it that we are so peculiar? Because we listen and we have heard and studied and taken a hold of those words wherein when Jesus arose from the dead and he appeared behind the closed doors to the apostles and he first of all said, peace be unto you. And he says that as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And he breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, that whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And that commission has been carried out by the apostles to all the followers of Christ. And that's why we are a peculiar people, because we have that peculiar church power to be able to proclaim sins forgiven unto a penitent sinner. And this is something that we do not want to look lightly upon, because it is very, very important, and it is so comforting to know when we are assured, when we hear the words that believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and his precious atoning blood. Be of good cheer, for Jesus has redeemed you. He has paid the price. All right, now we heard all about these works of the flesh, but then there are some other kind of fruits here. And sometimes we might think that, what are the fruits of the Spirit? It says here that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Remember, I spoke about love before. That's the first one it mentions, is love. The fruit of the Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit, then if we have that Spirit, we have love. Love to one another. Joy. Are you happy to be a Christian, a child of God? Oh, you ought to be, because it's such a joy to know that our sins are forgiven. It's such a joy to know that we are on our way to heaven, that we will one day reach that eternal city. Peace. As Jesus says in another place, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but as I give. That peace which he said unto his apostles behind the closed doors, peace be unto you. That peace that passeth all understanding. Isn't it such a peace in your heart when you have that assurance that you are a child of God? That you don't have to fear anything. Least of all, you don't have to fear death. Because if death comes, even in an instant, as it does to so many, if you are waiting for Jesus, if you are ready, if you are awaiting that day when Jesus comes again to raise all of us up on that last day. Long-suffering, that's another fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, how many of us lack a little of this? But God is long-suffering with us. Oh, He is so long-suffering with us. And He wants us to be long-suffering with one another. That we do not be short-tempered. That we do not find fault quickly with one another. Then it says gentleness. Are you gentle? Oh, you husbands, are you gentle with your wives? You wives, are you gentle with your husbands? And you parents, are you gentle with your children? Do not provoke them to anger. Any of it. Anybody. Wives or husbands or parents to children. Let's try. Let's try not to provoke them to anger. But love. Love is the answer. Sure, we might have to admonish. God has to admonish us many times. But He does it in love. And let us remember, do it in love. Goodness is another one, a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness. Let's try to be good. Faith is another fruit of the Spirit. Oh, we have to have faith. But we can't have it. We can't manufacture faith. Let's ask God. Ask God to give us that faith, because that's where the faith comes from. Some may say that, oh, they have a poor faith. Oh, don't say that you have a poor faith, because faith comes from God, and God doesn't give poor gifts. Maybe some have more faith than others, but it's still from God, and it is a good faith. And if it is from God, then if you feel you lack faith, just ask. Ask and you shall receive. Help our faith. Strengthen our faith, even as the apostles said. We want our faith to be strengthened. And let me add this. The scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how can we receive more faith? Come more often to the hearing of the word of God. You will receive faith when you listen diligently, with open ears, as we heard this morning. Open our ears that we can hear the word, and pray that God would allow that word to enter into our hearts and to find lodgment there, that it may bring forth fruit abundantly, such as these fruits that are speaking of here. Then it goes on some more. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, because Jesus has saved us and redeemed us. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So if you are Christ, you have crucified the flesh. You walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Oh, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. And that reminds me that next weekend is Halloween. And I know there are many who want to cut up and do all kinds of things that are not according to God's word on Halloween. You know that Halloween is not a Christian holiday. It is a pagan holiday. And let's not go out and cause problems and trouble and break pumpkins all over the road, which is destroying food and destroying people's property and running around and starting fires and this and that has so often happened. No, that is not the Spirit that is leading you to do these things. The Spirit will lead you to do good, to love your neighbor as yourself. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. No, we don't want to be vain. We don't ask for glory for ourselves. All praise, honor, and glory, and thanksgiving be unto God, the Heavenly Father. And it says, provoking one another, envying one another. No, we don't have to envy one another. Let us be content in what God has provided for us and given to us. Let us be content in all things. And may I ask, as the brother did also, that pray for me and my wife, for my family. Pray for each one of us. We need your prayers. We pray for all of you. We are struggling on this way, and we ask that God would be with us and lead us on this narrow way until we reach that heavenly shore. May I encourage young and old alike to continue on this narrow way of life. Oh, the reward is great. The struggle may be difficult at times, but think of that reward where that sun shines. Not the natural sun, but the Son of God is the light therein, in that city, Foursquare, that we are journeying toward. God help every one of us. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Now may we ask the blessing for the provisions that have been prepared for us down in the basement area. We ask God, the Heavenly Father, to bless those gifts unto our natural body, and to bless each one of us, to bless the loving hands that have worked to prepare these for us. And we, above all, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for we know that all things are from thy hand. And for those who may not be here this evening, we will say the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine over us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We asked the children not to play with the elevator. It seems that they have played with it and it has malfunctioned. Also, try not to bring food upstairs. Our services will continue this evening at 6 o'clock. Group 1 is preparing refreshments after the evening service. Also, tomorrow evening, the fall cleaning from 4 to 9, groups 5, 6, 7, and 8. And on Tuesday evening, 4 to 9, groups 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then Thursday evening, we'll have our regular service at 7:30. Next Sunday, Sunday school at 9:30, and communion service at 10:30 following. In closing, let's sing song number 128, and that's number 47 in the finish. I ask any board members are here to come up for a short meeting. Ken.